40 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
We will praise your name, Jesus, and we will succeed. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on 1240 AM. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
And that was Joan Chiffo, my lovely bride, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
We certainly do.
And we got some great guests here today. Joan, why don't you introduce our guests?
Okay. Well, we have Mrs. Carol Rubino, who is a notice psychologist?
Certified social worker.
Social worker, sorry.
That's right.
And she's doing some job.
Does a wonderful job with so many people, and she's going to talk to us today about redemptive suffering. Mm-hmm. And would you do the other?
Sure. We got Barbara Campbell, who's a author, a evangelist, and just
counselor.
And a counselor, and just loves Jesus. So welcome. Welcome, Barbara.
Welcome
Carol, and thank you for coming
Carol.
To our show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
And, you know, I may add that Carol, you know, I've made several recommendations to Carol for her clinical counseling, and I've gotten all positive results from each one that I recommended to
them. Oh, praise
they
God.
Actually,
praise
they actually God. Love you, Carol. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
So welcome, both of you guys. Now, let's hear. What do you got to offer us? What do you got to tell our listeners?
Well, I think
I know
the
you
Lord,
guys got a message.
I think the Lord wants us to talk about suffering and why we suffer and the purpose of suffering, redemptive suffering. And I think the Lord also wants to say that in suffering, God is in it, but we as counselors, all we get is people that suffer. It's an amazing profession because when people get well, we don't see them.
And sometimes people say, how are you? And we don't even know because we're so busy listening to everybody else. We don't even know we're suffering. So it's great.
Yeah,
it's
it is
a win-win.
Great.
So both you guys are certified counselors.
Yes.
And you work in this out of the same office?
Yes. Yes. Living Waters Counseling
Living Waters.
Center, which is in Melville. It's a Catholic counseling center.
Okay, that brings a good point. Counseling on a Catholic perspective. I'd like to hear what you got to say about that. Both of you.
Okay. Well, counseling in itself is an art and a science. We both studied got graduate degrees beyond our bachelor's to learn how to help people deal with the suffering that they're having. And so that's the scientific part. The art part is there's not one individual that is the same. There's, you know, everybody comes in with their own unique kind of experiences, although there might be a thread running through in their pain, but there's not one person that comes in the same. The difference with art counseling is it's an art and science, and we bring, you know who. Who do we bring into it, Barbara?
We bring the Lord into it, Jesus Christ, right into the center of it.
Yeah.
Right and where he should be.
And
right?
So Jesus is the center of your counseling. Jesus is the center of
right.
your helping people.
And when he's the center, supernatural grace is available. We access the supernatural graces straight from the Father's throne room, really. Mm-hmm. Through Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. That's what Scripture tells us.
So, counseling on a Catholic perspective is very simple, isn't it? It just simply means that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is present on all your counseling endeavors. Is that what it's all about?
That's what it's all about. I think I have about 7 or 8 other counselors working at the center. And when they come in, and it takes a while, I tell them, clear your mind and let Jesus take over. But it takes a while for them to do that because they're trained to, like, think, you know. And we do think. It's not that. But God uses the gift and uses the amount of studying that we had done. And he uses that just like with a doctor, but he guides us. He guides us as to what to say and who to say it to. And I don't even know where the words are coming from sometimes.
You know what? Right? That's very, very interesting you said that. I just turned to a page in Psalm 18:2, and it said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my bearer, and the horn of my salvation, and my higher power, in which I put all my trust." And so that's very, very, very powerful statement, meaning that through your counseling and through your meetings and stuff, you're employing our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And our Heavenly Father and the Blessed Mother to guide your counseling.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure it's very successful. So tell us some stories. I mean, I know Carol Rabano. Mm-hmm. I know that you worked with AIDS people.
Right.
Before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know, Barbara, you're a certified counselor. Are there any stories you can share with us to evangelize that you've come across in your careers?
Oh, sure. There's lots of stories that I could tell. But one of the stories I'd like to tell is about suffering and my grandmother's suffering. It's a personal story. It's a personal story that has helped me very much, especially when I was working with people with AIDS. I was working with people with AIDS in the early 90s when AIDS was, you know, just coming out of whatever it was coming out of, and people, you know, were still afraid and thought they could get it and everything else. And I had the privilege of being certified as an AIDS counselor. Now, death has never been something that has been, something that I'm afraid of or something unfamiliar to me. Death has always been something that somehow I was given the grace, and it was through my grandmother, who died when I was 7, given the grace of knowing that when one dies, that is not the end. That's not the end. So, you know, as our friend Dr. John Palmer also went to the Lord very recently, I truly believe it's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I was starting to work with AIDS people. I was going to spiritual direction and being prayed with. And my grandmother was my favorite person. What grandmother isn't their grandchildren's favorite person, just about?
I know my grandchildren. She's the favorite.
Right, Joan?
I'm
how
second.
Many help, so?
How many grandchildren do you have?
I have 8.
Oh, okay.
And they love her dearly.
Yeah.
Me, they could take me or leave me.
No, that's not true.
But grandmas have a heart.
They have a heart. Yeah.
I have an LL Danny and Lizzie that adore me also, and they never see anything I do bad.
See, right? And I have to tell you one more thing while we're talking about it. Joan can spend hours talking to my grandchildren one at a time.
What a gift.
There are times when I go shopping and she's talking to my grandson, and I come home an hour and a half later, and she's still talking to my oldest grandson.
That's true.
And I said to my grandson.
And he's 24.
What a gift.
And
what
I said to my grandson, Joe, I don't know, I thought maybe you were a baloney troll, but I think there's something to all this. So anyway.
Well, he's studying to be a psychologist now.
And it's an honorable
profession. He's taking his master's right now.
And yes. Dr. Yeah. John Palmer, I think, is well, was one of his idols. He was very
instrumental.
Yeah. Instrumental. Yeah. And
isn't that beautiful?
So, okay, so let's move on because I do want to talk about John Palmer. Too.
Okay, so the suffering, my grandmother, and this is in the 50s, late 50s, developed breast cancer. And so we're talking quite a few years ago. And I'm 7. It's December, right before Christmas. And for months, she's lying on this hospital bed. I can still picture it. Mm. In the parlor. It was called the parlor in those days.
The parlor.
And I still call it the parlor. And Joan yells at me. After 54 years of marriage, she's still yelling at me.
Well, that's a good sign, though, that she loves you. So Grandma's there, and I'm by her bedside, 7. You don't really understand too much when you're 7 as far as this goes, the suffering and everything. But anyway, as I'm praying in spiritual direction, I had a vision of my grandmother come to me. And not only to me, but to, like, I was in that kind of ethereal world. Mm. There I was, back in the parlor, at her bedside, and she was suffering. And at the foot of her bed, I saw all the people that I loved and that she loved at the foot of the bed, smiling.
Wow.
It was remarkable. Not only that, one of the AIDS people that I had worked with had recently died, and he was there too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it was powerful, powerful. And then my grandmother said to me, Carol, don't worry about this. This, what you saw, even though it was spread out over months, the suffering, it wasn't like that. Because human, as Dr. John Palmer always said, God doesn't know time. So in humanity, it seemed like a long, long, long time. But it really, she said, it was like the blink of an eye, and I'd do it all over again. And she actually told me what she did it for, because my family is riddled with the disease of alcoholism. Mm. And that's what she did it for. That's what she did it for.
Wow.
So it was a marvelous experience in the sense that I was given the gift and the grace then to work with AIDS patients and not necessarily share that with them because they weren't at that place. You have to be at a certain place in order to hear that. They probably, you know, I wouldn't. But the reality is I was able to look through their pain and give them hope.
Oh,
and that was the most important thing, the hope. And it was quite
beautiful.
A gift. Yeah,
it really is quite a gift.
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
And you moved on from there, though. You grew from there, didn't you?
Oh, I've grown tremendously from there. And then I started Living Waters Counseling Center. But also, suffering is the only time, and I tell this to our clients, you will grow from the suffering. You're not going to grow when the grass is green. It just doesn't happen when the sun is shining. Nobody grows in the sunshine
That's right. That's right.
But if you choose with suffering, you can grow tremendously. And part of that growth is to recognize that even though it feels like you're alone, you're not alone.
So are we talking about redemptive suffering by any chance?
Yes, we are.
Say
now
a little something about
it. Are you talking about physical suffering at this point? Or
I'm talking physical, emotional, and mental.
Emotional, okay.
Emotional and mental. They're all combined. And redemptive suffering is taking our suffering and combining it with the Lord Jesus' suffering.
And so that's counseling on a Catholic perspective, mm-hmm. isn't it? So people that go to Living Waters can expect, and they do expect, and they have received counseling on a Catholic perspective. And I think that's what made the recommendations that I sent to you rave about you and your counselors.
And my counselors, Barbara, has been working with some people that
and
you have sent.
I have to tell you, I'm not hesitant about recommending you guys.
Thank you so much.
And
I
know
it.
There was one particular person that you really helped tremendously with their child and I will recommend you.
Thank you so much.
I just want to take a small break just to mention one thing. This show, as in all our shows, are dedicated to the memory of Dr. John Palmer, our co-founder. Him and I founded this show with the idea of converting one soul every week. And through the years, I think we found that we have come across some conversions. But his legacy has touched so many people that I can't even, I start to cry when I think about it. I can't even think about maybe the thousands of people he's touched that he really didn't even know he touched. Mm-hmm. And all the people that are sending their condolences on his demise and all. So I thought that I would like his legacy that we both got together and we decided to have a radio show. Mm-hmm. And so I think this radio show is part of Dr. John Palmer's legacy because he wanted it to reach out to the east and to the west and to the north and to the south and touch so many people's lives. And he has. So I'm starting a some sort of memorial, and I'm thinking of calling it the Dr. John Palmer Radio Evangelizational Memorial. And so if anyone would like to contribute, it's a special memorial. It's a special section that their names will be placed in a weekly prayer and a daily prayer for those people that do contribute $5, $10, $15, $20, $30. And we've had contributions to that amount that would continue to allow this radio station to grow. I'm proud to say that right now, through the help of some really great backers and lovers of John and through my bride, Joan, we're able to continue the show to the middle of next year. Our goal is to try to get at least to the end of next year and to spread out to the north, east, and west. So if anyone would like to help with a small contribution, they can do so just by texting me at 516-712-7005, going to our website, listen-up.net, and there's a little spot there on the left that says donate now, and if you want to donate $5, $10, your name will be forever embedded in the John Palmer Memorial mm-hmm. Fund.
What and is that website?
It's listen-up.net.
Okay.
So dash
you.
Meaning minus. So it's listen minus up.net. And all the way over to the right, there's a little spot there for contribute now. And you can contribute through PayPal or you can contribute through your credit card, but you will get a confirmation. We are a 501c3 who John was so proud of that we got it. And you know about that, Carol.
I do.
You have it also.
I do.
And, mm-hmm. And so any contribution is tax deductible. And so we just thought we'd make that mention, and hopefully we'll be able to continue a dream that I think Dr. John Palmer had to evangelize through the radio show. We decided to do this, by the way, because we found that there were very few Catholic shows on AM radio. And we wanted to be the first to hit the airwaves.
That's right.
And so we're starting. Okay, so that's enough that
Anthony,
I have to say.
Also, what about if a person has some personal story that they'd like to
share?
Oh,
Joan, tell them. Talk to
them. Yeah, if you have a personal story relating to John that you'd like to share with us, if you'd like to come on the air, you can always text Tony or call him.
My number
is 516-712-7005. And he'd be happy to talk to you about it. Or if you don't want to come on the air, you can send us a letter. And if you'd like us to read it over the air, we'll do that for you. I'm sure there's so many stories out there about mm-hmm. John, and people tell me all the time. But I think the listeners would love to hear that, too. Think
and he's touched. Oh, I think that's wonderful. Yeah. And he's touched not 100 lives. I think he's touched. I'm starting to cry. I think he's touched thousands of lives. And he really never even knew, because he was surprised when people were going over to him all the time. I know he was surprised. And he used to say to me, get me going. And so anyway, he did touch many, 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 many lives. And anyone that does belong to the Memorial Fund will receive one of his books that I will send personally, will have a tax deduction, and I'll send the letter of our 501c3 number, and we'll receive disc of our shows every month.
Great.
Okay, so thank you very much. And so let's get on with you two guys, because you're the center of our show here.
I want you to say, you and John were a dynamic duo. That's for sure. That's right, Joni?
That's right. They
now
were.
You'll take his place.
I hope so. Yeah.
I don't know.
Think anybody could take his place.
Well, not in that sense. But,
yeah.
Well, we
can try to help.
We inwardly, over the 7-8 years of our relationship, I can't say I want to cry, grew to love one another.
Yeah, you sure did.
Talk. I can't talk.
Can I give a little story?
Yeah, sure. Yes, absolutely.
Does that help out right
yes,
now?
Yes, it will.
Because I'm crying also with you. Suffering. So suffering is a great topic for today, especially with John having suffered so much.
Oh, my
and,
Lord.
He was, to me, he was always like he was always exuding joy. I always saw joy in him.
A tower of power.
Right, tower of power.
That's the way I looked at him. Right. As I often, I don't want to interrupt, but I often said to myself, what does this guy want to do with a little guy like me? Why is he messing around with a little guy like me?
Powerful.
I often said that, and I was blessed to have his friendship. So I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, I wanted to say that because as a jump off for my little personal story, because I think joy is such an amazing witness. It's the evangelization tool of people who are suffering when they can exude joy. And the joy being not happiness, as in, you know, our circumstances affect our happiness, but the joy, meaning the joy in knowing God's love. And I think that's the secret. So many people say, why do things happen to me? I do everything right. But it's not about that. It's about knowing that even when things happen to us all, which happens because of sin, and sin affects one another, you know, our free will affects each other. That's more important to God, actually, than God feeling hurt. You know, he's not walking around with a lot of hurt feelings. He's walking around with tears over his children hurting one another. And that's
absolutely
what sin does.
Exactly.
And that's what our free will allows for. But meanwhile, I'd like to talk about my husband, who has endured tremendous suffering for the last 5 years. And the reason I want to talk about him is because of the joy. The same joy that I saw in John, I see in my husband. And it's really amazing. He's been in and out of hospitals. He's been given up for, you know, all kinds of diseases and troubles and syndromes. And everyone's, you know, said to us a number of times, oh, this time he's not going to be able to pull through this. But he always pulls through. But the beauty, that's the miracle. That is a miracle, a physical miracle. But the bigger miracle, I think, than pulling through everything is that he's been such a witness through it all to everybody that deals with him. Everybody that comes near him, the other patients, the doctors, people's lives have been actually turned around by the way that he has witnessed joy. And just in his own quiet way, he is a deacon, but yet in his just very simple manner of compassion even for those who care for him, he has just exuded the joy of knowing and believing in God's love. And I remember the first time they whisked him off to the hospital, kind of, you know, unpredictably out of a doctor's office. I looked at him with such, I couldn't believe it was happening. And he couldn't either, but he grabbed my hand and he said, Barb, I'm in the Lord's hands. You know, come on, smile.
Wow.
I'm in the Lord's hands, you know?
With faith.
And that, I repeated that to myself over and over again through the last 5 years. Oh, wait a minute. He's in the Lord's hands. The Lord loves him more than I could ever love him, than anyone could ever love him. And where better could he be?
Where better can he be?
So he's really a
so
sacrament
beautiful
of the moment.
Barbara, that is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
That reminds me of, which I'm going to do, talk about St. John Paul II. When he was dying and his aides were crying, and I believe he said to them, don't cry, I am happy and you should be too.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Mm-hmm. I think I smell a song.
Yes, I think so.
So what is that first song?
What kind of world is this?
Can we have the first song? That was beautiful.
Streets alone. What kind of world is this? Where the common place is a broken home. What kind of world? What kind of world is this?
Kind of world is this?
Where Lord determines life or death of your unborn child. What kind of world is this? Times and in this world, I don't wanna be solitary, solitary, no. What kind of world is this? Do we believe in every story that we're sold? What kind of world is this? Children, but we shun the old and in this world.
You know, I just want to get into the next topic. I know we're running out of time, but I do want to talk about St. John Paul II at special request, and then I want to continue talking to you gals because you're so interesting and you got so many beautiful stories to tell. But Joan, why don't you read our reflection, given to us by a great... great person and a great fan of our show, but wants to remain anonymous. And so, and because I'm from Brooklyn, I used to ask John to do the reading. And so, in John's absence, who else could I ask but my bride, Joan?
Who's
you read
also
it, please?
From Brooklyn, but I guess. Okay, you have no choice. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Even though many people get put off if you talk about money in church, Jesus referred to money several times. Remember a few weeks ago in the gospel when Jesus told the rich man, "Sell what you have and give to the poor." Then Jesus went on to say that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In today's gospel, we see Jesus actually watching what amount a person would contribute to the temple. He noticed, even to the point of telling his disciples, that a poor widow put in more than the well-to-do because she gave from her need, while they gave from their surplus. We can conclude from all of this that Jesus warned his followers often about the dangers of being attached to money and material possessions. We can also conclude that he considered it just and right to support the work of the church in a generous way, as long as the church was carrying out the mission of the gospel. Today's gospel message reminds us that we ought not give just what we think we can afford, but to give trusting that God will make up more than ever for our sacrifices.
Great. Thank you, Joan. Thank you. Beautiful. Beautifully read. And you're from Brooklyn, aren't you?
And I'm from Brooklyn, amazingly.
And we're only a few blocks away. How did this happen that I wound up with a Brooklyn accent and you didn't?
Well,
I don't know.
I think I have to.
Okay, let's talk about let's talk about John Paul II, okay. The dynamic pope, the dynamic saint. And I know he was canonized at the same time as John the 23rd. They're like twins as far as I'm concerned, but at another time we'll talk about John the 23rd. But to understand this pope, he must go back to his Polish roots. Ultimately, everything we learned proved the deep truth of these words. All of the major themes of John Paul II's papacy can be traced to the shaping of events in his life, a life whose roots are sunk in the Polish soil. His Christian vision, his vocation, his every emotions draw their depth and intensity from the country he left to become the Holy Father of the Catholic Church in Rome. As a vicar of Jesus Christ and successor of St. Peter, he has revolutionized the office of the modern pope. He flew all over the world. I once said to myself, is this guy ever going to stop? He has taken his mission out of the Vatican. He's opened the windows. And in my estimation, and I'm ad-libbing, he let fresh air into the Vatican.
Absolutely.
He let the sun shine through. He let the wind blow through. He let the cobwebs out. And he had his vision and his personal gift. He was a skiing pope, a poet pope, a best-selling singing pope, the designer of robes pope, and above all, the religious pope, the pope that loved the Blessed Mother so much, and the pope that loved Jesus, but it was never descended into trivial celebrity. He was a celebrity. He's the pope who brought down communism, the pope who worked ceaselessly toward Christian reconciliation with the Jews, the pope who raised his voice against the contemporary evil in our culture of debt. He has never consulted pollsters. He could care less as long as he knew that what he was doing was Jesus' work. The polls meant nothing to him. And so he traveled around the world. What else did he do? He was instrumental in defeating communism. He brought forth the fruition that communism in Russia was going to go. And he was instrumental. I'm not reading, I'm ad-libbing, by the way, and all this stuff. He was the pope of popes. He was a saint of saints. He was a man of man. He was El Papa, our father. And so he had a rough life as a child. His mother died when he was a little boy. His father raised him. He was raised by his siblings. But he knew at a very early age he was going to be a priest in Poland, which was a rough time to be a priest at that time with the communist regime. But he did. He survived. And as a boy, I have to tell you this. My research told me that he turned to Mary at a very early age. And he said to Mary, "You are my mother. You are the one that's going to guide me. You are the one that I'm dedicating my life to. My mother is with you in heaven. And I love you both." And so the Blessed Mother took him under her wing when he was attempted assassination. It said that the bullet traveled in circles around him to avoid all the revital. And so the Blessed Mother guided him. And so what did he do? He forgave the attempted assassin. He forgave. Just as Jesus forgave when he was on the cross all those that put him to death. And so, what else can I say about a pope that when he was going back to the Lord, he told all the people around him, "Don't cry for me. I am happy. And you should be too." And so we went up to the Heavenly Father. So that's the short story of Pope John Paul II. There's so much more to know. And I would advise and I would recommend that you research his life, because his life was the life of a pope that opened the windows and let the fresh air into the Vatican. Mm-hmm. And that's my statement. And you can quote me if you want.
Okay.
And so that's the short life of a pope that really, really was changed our lives. Okay, so let's get on with the show.
Yeah,
let's
that's
talk.
Very beautiful. May I add to that then?
Yes, absolutely.
The reason I suggested John Paul II is because he had the Parkinson's.
Yes.
He had Parkinson's, yes. And that was the suffering that he made known to the world.
Yes.
I mean, and so many people would say, why doesn't he just give it up? Why doesn't he? But his gift was to show how mankind suffers and to put those sufferings with God, because mankind suffers because we're in a world without God, and that's what that song was about. Lots of times, the suffering is the world doesn't have God. A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. And he suffered, and he was able to show his sufferings to everyone, and he wasn't ashamed of the suffering.
No.
He wasn't ashamed of the suffering. Like, do what you want. And he had the joy, because this is from Dr. Palmer's book, Who Is It That You Say I Am? He had the joy because he knew life is a constant struggle between the false lures of the world of man and the truth of my world. It is only living in my world as much as possible that true peace can reign in your heart and soul. He had that. Barbara's husband had that. John Palmer had that. There was
Absolutely.
A joy there. There was
That's
a joy
right.
there despite what it looked like. It had nothing to do with what it looked like. We get so fooled by what we think we see. We see that, but we have to go beyond the exterior. We have to go beyond what is there and look beyond that and understand we have a soul that's being formed. That's being formed. And all this humanity is going to be peeled away as long as we keep our eyes on the cross.
That's beautiful. And can I add one thing?
Mm-hmm.
I've been to John's bedside every day, giving
yes,
him
you were.
Holy Communion.
What a gift spirit. You were.
But in the last 3 weeks, I had noticed that I didn't think he was in pain, so I thought they were giving him antibiotics, or I thought they were giving him
pain medication, morphine,
like they gave me when I took my arm out of my... I can't take pain, I cry. So anyway...
He's very happy on morphine.
Now we're not.
Not at all, but he was.
Oh, my God. So I went over to the nurse, and I said to the nurse, can I ask you a question? They were very nice, the nurses, because they knew they saw me every day and stuff like that. So I says, is he in pain? Are you giving him morphine or something? And she said very clearly and plainly, no, he's on nothing. He has no pain.
Praise God, that was beautiful.
And,
yeah, for a few weeks.
And he is just natural. And I thought to myself, Jesus, his best friend,
yeah,
whom he talked to every day and told me about his the way he spoke to Jesus and what he told Jesus and what Jesus told him, mm-hmm, is now taking care of him and relieving him from his pain and suffering. And
absolutely,
I was so happy and so pleased to hear that.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, I think, yeah, you know, and he did. And Joan and I were there when he passed, by the way.
What a gift for him and for you.
Yeah, we were there when he passed with his son. And it was like such a peaceful, quiet.
Right.
He just stopped breathing.
Just stopped breathing.
And
we
went home.
We couldn't even tell.
Wow.
We couldn't even tell.
If you saw him, he just looked like he might have been sleeping. And he just went home to Jesus. And it was like Jesus just picked him up.
We had to call someone in to see that was what was happening.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Beautiful death.
And also,
what happened was
we were there for maybe about 5 hours before he died, and just sitting with him and praying over him. And Tony just said at the last minute, you know, I think we should leave him with his son for a moment, and let's just go outside. And we walked down the hall, sat down, and just started to have a cup of coffee. And someone came and called
his
us.
The son came out.
And
come in right away.
And he had passed. Just at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed, for some reason, that
to
time
to his
with
son.
That time to be alone with his son.
With his son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
And it's like he told me, you can go out now.
Yeah.
It
the
was
way
like
he said, I just have a feeling that
the
we
Holy
should
Spirit,
be leaving right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it was seamless, you know, it was a seamless transition because he was walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
Right.
Already.
Yes.
So it was seamless for him
to
go to the Lord.
It was
just
beautiful.
Yeah. So there wasn't a division,
right?
Between humanity and our divinity, our soul.
Exactly.
So that's some of our experiences with our 7-year friendship.
Someday, when you can talk, you'll be able to.
Yeah, right now
relate
I can't.
Some of your own experiences with John.
So, but we're going to continue with this radio show as much as long as we can.
Yeah.
We're going to make his
fantastic
dream a realization, and we're going to expand to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south.
Amen.
With
Amen.
The help of
Hallelujah.
Jesus,
Amen.
If Jesus allows. Okay, let's move on with the show.
Okay, you know, I just wanted to say something about this redemptive suffering, too. I really never knew that was a name for years ago, because I started with maybe about 25 years ago with MS, and so that's been going on. And in the beginning, I think I would have liked to have known about that. I always thought that I didn't really take things seriously when I was ill. It was always very matter of fact, and I trusted God, and whatever was coming my way was coming my way. But I felt now that I heard that word, just redemptive suffering, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago I heard that, and it came to me that I wasted all that time with my own suffering. I could have been giving it to Jesus and letting him do what he wanted with it. I didn't need to think that I was praying for anything in particular, but once I realized that, I gave everything to him, and I just said, whatever suffering I have, it's for you, Jesus, whatever you need, you know. So I don't say it every day. I don't say it as a thing all the time, every time I get pain. But I have pain almost every day. Oh, I do have pain every day. I shouldn't even say almost every day. But I've learned to deal with it. And I think it's almost like going to someone for help. I just deal with Jesus. I journal and I, you know, get my answers. But not the way John did, but my own personal way. And, you know, I find ways to get over it. I'm over it right now, you know, because of putting myself together. I wear things that help me. I take, you know, some medications that help. But and I go for shots in my spine 3 or 4 times a year. But they all help. But the main thing is Jesus. The main thing is I trust that whatever I'm going through, he needs to do something with it. And it's his. And so that's my redemptive
that's
suffering.
Beautiful.
You know what the good news is, though, that God doesn't know time.
Right.
That's right.
So,
So
all the suffering before is right, put right into that same prayer that you just prayed.
Just
so
because
all that
I
counts.
Didn't know it then, you know.
Right. It doesn't matter
because
you look at Joan, you really would not know she's suffering. You do have the joy of the Lord.
Well, I believe I do because I feel it. You know, I don't feel sorry for myself.
That's beautiful.
And I see so many people so much worse. So much worse. And I just say thank you for what I do have, because I don't have the things that I can't handle. I can handle this.
I have to tell you, I just got a text.
Yeah.
And the text says, and I'm going to cry.
Again? Come on.
That's okay.
Yippee. Joan is a welcome addition to the show. Smart idea to establish a memorial fund for Dr. John Palmer. Please put me down for $100.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll put a check in the mail.
Oh, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's right.
How beautiful.
Yeah, that is.
Thank you. Let's have a song. Trevor, can we have a song?
For once in my life?
Yeah.
Al, this one's for you, baby.
Really listen to this song and understand how the Lord is with us in all that suffering.
Thank you, listener. Thank you. You made me cry.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Someone I've needed so long. For once, unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of, long before I knew Jesus, Lord, it's you who makes my dreams come true. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before. For once I have someone I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say, this is mine, you can take it. As long as I know I have love, I can make it. For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Mm-hmm. I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew. Jesus, Lord, it's you who makes my dreams come true. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before. For once I have someone I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore. For once I can say he's mine. You can take him as long as I know I have God. I can make it. For once in my life I have someone who needs me. For once in my life I have someone who needs me.
Once in my life, I have someone that needs me. Oh, my God. I'm getting texts all over the place over here. Al Barbarino, you know I love you. He just sent the text. Al, thank you for listening. You're making me cry.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
I think he needs help.
Well, he knows where to come.
That's right.
Yeah, we have an opening, Tony, next week.
Al says, here's Al's. He just texted. You know I love you. Great job. Would you?
Amen.
Thank you, Al. I love you. Sorry for talking over your song, though, but I love you.
The song is beautiful.
You are our favorite,
beautiful.
Baby.
Well, the song was inspirational. That's why we talked over it.
Mm-hmm. Al, you have meant so much. While I got you, I might as well tell you, and I know you're listening, you have meant so much to this radio show, and you meant so much to Dr. John Palmer. We actually cherish our friendship, and John thought so highly of you. And thank you for co-hosting the show, and hopefully you'll continue to co-host, and Joan will continue to co-host, and Brother Paul Miller will continue to co-host. And you're so important to us, Al. You really are. Thank you. But now, girls. I'm sitting
girls.
Here, Al. I'm sitting here. I'm sitting
girls.
Here with three beautiful women. And I'm being overpowered, by the way. But in any event,
you can handle it, Tony.
with the time that we have left, I'd like to know, what is it that you, each of you, want to accomplish in your relationship with Jesus? Let's start with you, Joan.
That is very difficult. But I just want to get closer. You know, all that I do have, I'm thankful for. I thank God every day for my family, for my friends, for Tony, for everything. But I still want to be closer to him. And so each day, I do journaling, and I try to get closer. And through prayer, I just learn to trust him more. And the more you trust him, things just work out, because you can calm yourself. As soon as you put all your trust in God, everything is made simpler for you, so that you don't have those worries. Once you've given it to him, you've given it to him, and it's finished. So whatever's going to be is going to be. And that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. So.
Beautiful.
That's it. That's
beautiful. Beautiful. Love you, baby. Carol, well, you're on.
Okay, I'm on. So my goal is to be less of me and more of him. I really want to surrender to the will of God in my life, I've been living in that space. A lot of people don't understand it because a lot of times, what in the world, it looks like I shouldn't be doing the things I'm doing. But the reality is I'm doing them because I think, and this has been confirmed, the Lord wants me to do them, and I have friends who help me help me along the path to continue, because the narrow road's not the easiest, but less of me and more of him. So when I do leave the world, this world, I can make that seamless entry into the next.
Oh, that,
I hope.
That was also very beautiful. So we got you now.
Yeah, the same as Joan and Carol. I want very much to grow in allowing the Lord to love me, to understand how that works and how that can be. I can open up more and more to it. I know that being in His will is where my joy lies at this point. No matter where that will takes me, it doesn't always take us to the most cozy, comfortable places. But,
not at all, right?
Yeah, but being in His will is a great joy to me, and I believe that that's the key to allowing Him to love us more and more. I want to say something for the Blessed Mother.
Yes, absolutely.
Many people now are talking about consecrating their lives to Mary, and I think the thing that really impresses me the most about that is that when we unite our will to hers, we are uniting our will to the Lord. It is the most perfect way to unite our will to the Lord Jesus, because her will is totally in sync with His. So if we consecrate our will to her, then we've got a human vehicle with which to, you know, unite our will.
Right.
And just a last little, may I wish my grandson a happy birthday?
Oh, absolutely. Happy
Danny,
birthday.
Happy birthday today, and may the Lord bless you with all His love today and throughout this whole year.
Happy What's birthday. His name?
Danny.
Danny, happy birthday, baby. Happy birthday. We love you, Danny. I just got another text. I want to read it if we can. It says, this was my wife's favorite song. Please stop crying. You're making me cry. Thank you, listener. And so my relationship with Jesus is very simple. I just want Him to be my friend. I know I talk to Him every day. And one of my favorite statements to Him is very simple. Jesus, You have never let me down, and I know You never will. And He says, I think I'm getting that He says in response, why should I?
Praise God.
And so, praise You, Jesus. And we thank You. Thank You for this radio show. Thank You for allowing us to do this. Thank You for allowing us to open ourselves up to evangelize, to bring people close to You. Thank You, Jesus. And Carol, I just very quickly, can you say a prayer for our listeners and our petitions and all those that have contributed to
sure.
John's fund?
Father God, in Jesus' name, through the working of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of Mary, Your mother, and the healing power of Jesus the Messiah, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for everyone in this room and throughout the world who's really listening, who's listening with their heart to the words that Jesus is telling them through human vehicles, that we can continue in the spirit of Dr. John Palmer and allow this evangelization to keep going on, not only in our little part of the world, but throughout the world. Lord, let us be that little piece that is really being multiplied and multiplied, and let the fruit of our work be shown. We ask this and we trust this in Your name.
Amen.
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 And thank You. Amen. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for allowing us to do this show. I know, Jesus, You're going to let this show grow. I just know it because I feel it in my heart. And I want to thank all the listeners. And please, Jesus, bless the listeners. Please, Jesus, bless them. Bless them and bless our petitions that we have here, with so many petitions and so many people that are hurting and that are asking for help and guidance. So Jesus, we ask You and we praise You and we lift these petitions up to You. Do You lift them up to heaven? And please heal them. And listeners, we thank You for listening. We hope You love us. as we love you.
Amen.
By the Father.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program.